pretty sure it was Tammy said, well, why don't we just do it nationally? And I was like, whoa, that's massive. Yeah. But like once Tammy and I connected in relation to it, I kind of just felt like, you know what, we can do anything.
Welcome to the RMA podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Nicole Bunyan, founder of Running Mums Australia. Each episode, I will be speaking to everyday women who have an inspiring story to tell. We will cover the highs and lows of their own journey, the impact motherhood has had on their life, and how running has inspired them to live wilder, dream bigger, and change the world around them. Thank you for joining us on this new adventure that will hopefully leave an imprint for you to live out your own life inspired to conquer goals you never thought possible. On this episode of the RMA podcast, I speak to two amazing women who have an inspiring story where connection, passion, and purpose collide. We discuss the connection that RMA brought them miles away in different states, Natalie Cunningham in Perth and Tammy Watson on the Gold Coast, Queensland, and how after meeting in person at an event, they formed Run for Blue, a virtual event sweeping our nation, which aims to create awareness and support for our past and present serving police officers and families through police legacy across Australia. We talk about their journey to finding running, then later RMA, and how their vocation as police officers and their passion for cause has ignited this incredible movement, especially in light of recent events. We talk also about motherhood, and we touch on Tammy's own personal journey battling cervical cancer and raising two small children with a disability, and how running has helped her in light of this experience. This story will leave you inspired to connect with those in your community or from afar that can bring out the best in you and offer support to others along the way. Just a heads up with this podcast, given we were in three different states with three different internet connections, our audio was sometimes a little bit scratchy. Please bear with us. This doesn't affect our conversation in any way. I hope you enjoy. Hi, girls. Welcome to the RMA podcast.
Howdy.
Hi, Nick.
Let's just talk about how you're coping at the moment. So with COVID and being locked down and shut down and things like that. So we'll start with you, Tammy. Where are you living at the moment?
Currently on the Gold Coast with the fam, after spending 12 weeks in Alice Springs, which was interesting, but I've been back for about a month after an injury, so.
Mm-hmm. Was the injury from running?
No, from work.
Okay, so you're back in Queensland now and you'll probably have to stay there, I guess, will you?
No, I'll be able to head back in the next week or so, which will be good to get back into work.
Okay, we'll get into that because that's a really interesting part of your story, how you work sort of remotely from home. And how about you, Nat? How are you going with everything?
Yeah, I'm in Perth, Western Australia. So we're coming sort of out of lockdown at the moment. To be honest, I quite enjoyed the slowing down of life and just being able to spend quality time with my husband and children. I was working the whole time. I did find that hard. But in Western Australia, like, everyone's been amazing. Like, it's been hard, but good at the same time. It's like everyone's in it together. So, yeah.
And you're both police officers, which we'll get into that story, but how has that time for you been, considering you are a police officer? I guess that's changed maybe your roles a little bit. What about you, Nat? Has it changed what you do?
Look, we changed our practices of how we do things. I'm not a frontline officer per se, but I am in the front line, if that makes any sense. I work in the sex offender management squad. So we deal with convicted sex offenders and we manage them. COVID didn't stop us from managing people, which meant we were, you know, potentially putting ourselves at risk every day in dealing with the people we deal with. But it was a very different environment. Like my previous spot where I was at was very much a frontline response position. So I consider myself kind of lucky that we were able to alter things to make things a bit safer. But yeah, still hard, but this is what we do. That's what we do as serving officers.
And something that we're all so grateful to have, really, you know, in our society. Absolutely. And what about you, Tam? How about you? What was it like for you in Alice Springs?
Well, I went to Alice sort of before COVID hit. It was supposed to be for 2.5 weeks and it ended up being 12 weeks. But we, once sort of the emergency declaration was made, we all went on to 12-hour shifts. So that was a change in the first instance. And then I guess our roles frontline were varied, you know, not just responding to the day-to-day incidents, but we were on biosecurity checkpoints or, you know, on the border security checkpoints as well. There was also, you know, a whole range of duties that we were now expected to do that were out of the ordinary. So, but in saying that too, you know, the territory is quite a unique place. So a lot of people return to country. So we were sort of dealing with a different community in general. So yeah, it was very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. I certainly was looking forward to, isolating once social isolation stopped.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure looking forward to getting back to your family. So now you're back home. Did you have any time at home during that sort of lockdown period as well? Like, or was it kind of when things started to open back up that you got back to Queensland?
Yeah, I got back just before the borders, Queensland borders opened, but I had an exemption to get back. So noting that, unfortunately, I got injured at work and has seen me off for a little bit. So I took the opportunity to come home and seek medical treatment in Queensland. And yeah, I've sort of been sitting, recovering sort of since. So yeah, had that opportunity to come back.
And if anything, it's a good time, as you said, Nat, just to reconnect with our families. And in the end, when we really think about it, they're the most important thing. And that time is precious. It's probably the only time in our whole lives we're ever going to get that time when we can kind of be a little bit more still and spend that crucial time with our families. All right. Well, I just wanted to do an introduction of both of you and your journey so far. So I think before we get into how you met, which is a really interesting story, I would love to have a little bit of an insight with all our guests. I asked them about, you know, their upbringing, and all of our guests so far are running mums. So they're part of the RMA network, and I find it inspiring to find out, how did you actually become a runner? And so I'll ask each of you individually. So we'll start with you, Tammy. So, you know, did you grow up as an active child? What was your childhood like, and how did you go from, you know, that childhood to being a running adult? In a short story, how can you tell a little bit about your journey?
How much time have you got? My childhood was probably a little bit different to many. I grew up with two older brothers, one who is severely intellectually disabled. So our family was quite busy. There was a lot of added responsibility. But the one thing my parents did was make sure that I had the opportunity to play sport and keep active. So I did. I did. You name it, I played it and loved it. With the exception of running. I hated running as a kid. I hated running as a young adult. And it really wasn't until 2017 that I decided that I was going to start to run. And then I fell in love.
Well, we'll get into how you fell in love with running, but what about you, Nat? What was your childhood like? Were you a runner as a young child or active?
I was a very, very active child. I'm one of four children, twin sisters older and a younger brother. The highlight of my year was the sports carnival day or the dancing concert, one of the two. And I was, any kind of sporting movement activity, I was there. I was a bit of a gymnast as a child, so I was very, very flexible. That's all now gone.
Thanks for running.
Yes. But yeah, I just thrived on any physical sport. I was not particularly good at school in the classroom, but you put me on any kind of playing, like netball, hockey, running, athletics, anything. That's where I really thrived as a child, and that's where I got my confidence from.
And it's interesting because I think as runners, like, it's such a solo sport, but at the same time we draw on those experiences as children on the sporting field, and reaching towards those goals that we set for ourselves. We use a lot of those things that we learn as kids, even as adults. And even though running is such a solo sport, as we know, as part of the community of runners, it becomes almost like a team sport as well. So yeah, that's really interesting. I really love to hear where people, where they came from and how they started running. So Tammy, would you like to just elaborate a little bit on when you started running in 2017, I think you said. So how did you get to that point?
My youngest child was born in 2015, young Talia. By 2017, I was, just not myself. So I was feeling quite down and depressed, and, you know, we're trying to save money, and I sort of just went, I need to do something to get active. So I ran around the block, and it was like all 500 metres or something. And I was buggered. And I went, oh, this actually really felt good. So I got up the next morning and did it again, and sort of a bit of a flow-on effect. And I started feeling, the more I did, the better I felt. And I guess that was early 2017. By middle 2017, I was going through some tests and found out that I had the cervical cancer. And I guess it wasn't until a little bit later through that journey I was introduced to RMA, which really wasn't how I sort of, you know, kept going and kept running throughout that that cancer journey and treatment.
I imagine that would have been a really hard time in your life and quite a shock, just having a 2-year-old child.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I quite often, I mean, you've probably heard me say this before, Nick and Nat, that, you know, it's a journey, it's an experience, and I learnt so much about myself, and I guess there's so much more to live than, you know, just the moment. So I really take every opportunity now to make sure we live our best lives.
How did you actually find out? I mean, I think this will be a really good thing to talk about as women on this podcast, but how did you actually find out that you had cervical cancer? Was there anything that stuck out to you and why you went and got yourself checked out?
There wasn't one sort of set thing. I'd had some pretty heavy periods, you know, sort of after having Talia. I mean, I was breastfeeding, but later on I was having these really, really heavy periods, and I was getting really bad cramping, and nothing too untoward about that, you know, after childbirth, as most of us know. But I also had this very random pain that would just come and go in my pelvic area. But as women, we sort of go, you know, there's goodness knows how many things that could be, and we often push it aside. I had a very, very amazing doctor who, after putting all this together, and she said, look, let's do a quick pap smear, see what happens, with some abnormal results. Nothing major, it was just like that, the CIN3 or something like that, which in most cases is a, look, let's just watch and wait and come back in 12 months and we'll revisit. But my GP was really thorough, and she said, no, I think we need to investigate this more, and I want you to have an ultrasound. And I was like, she'll be right, you know. And I put it off, and then, you know, a week later she goes, no, you will have this ultrasound. I'll book it for you if you don't. And I went, all right. And it was during that ultrasound, well, an hour later after that ultrasound, she rang me and said, you need to come in and see me now. And they'd found a decent sized tumour in the cervix. So yeah, I was just lucky. I was lucky to have a really thorough doctor.
Absolutely. Did you think that part of you didn't want to know the result? Was that why you were putting it off, or was it just I'm too busy, I've got too much to deal with, I'm, you know, mum, or?
Probably a bit of both. Yeah. I think there's certainly a part of, you know, nothing, it's nothing, you know, why am I worrying? You know, this is just another random pain as a female that I'm getting. So yeah, probably a bit of both.
Mm. Well, you're very lucky you did have such a good doctor. And very lucky that, you know, you obviously got it early enough and got treated. So you're doing okay now with that journey? What's the story behind? Yep.
I'm still here.
What actually happened? We'll go quickly through what actually happened after that.
Yeah. So after I found out, I think I was still in a bit of a state of denial. And I sort of had to really get myself into gear and come to the, I guess, the fact that I was going to undergo this treatment, which involved, you know, chemotherapy and radiation. Those first 6 weeks were probably the worst 6 weeks of my entire life. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And it was during those 6 weeks that a friend of mine sent me a message and said, you've got to get onto this group. I know you love running. I know you're missing running, but just get on and have a look. And I still remember to this day curling up in my bed, you know, bawling my eyes out and sort of Facebook surfing and seeing old Wendy Vickery doing some ridiculous post. And for the first time in weeks, I literally laughed out loud.
Mm. Isn't that amazing? Just what I did for you, just to see. And I guess at that time, I know myself, if I was going through treatment for cancer, the last thing I would be thinking about would be running. And the last thing I'd be thinking about would probably be almost wanting to connect online with anyone. I'd probably want to be in a ball. But the fact that you actually listened to your friend and took that chance, what did that actually do for you at that time in your life, at that crucial time in your life when you were going through such a hard time, being part of that community, seeing all the posts on Facebook and seeing what women were achieving? What did that do for you as a person, and what did that inspire inside of you?
It gave me an uncanny sort of motivation to get through what I was always going to get through it. I've never said that I was going to let cancer beat me, but it gave me a next level motivation to go, not only am I going to beat this, but I'm going to get back on that horse, which is the running, and make this my journey. And at the same time, I also saw that we're a group of women that put everybody's interests first apart from ourselves. Yes, we love running, we do all these things, but ultimately as mums we tend to put our families first. And I think I was wanting to also promote a good health message. So yeah, it gave me this, I sort of, you know, this inspiration to be better and to show what we can do if we put our mind and body to it.
Mm. And also I remember you being really open about that journey and sharing with everyone, not only because it probably helped you going through that, but also you wanted to let other women know that it's important to be aware of things in your body and what you were going through. You didn't want anyone else to have to go through. And I remember seeing that and being part of that journey. I remember one day we all dressed in teal and ran for you. And, you know, that's what the community is about. And it's getting alongside people that are going through it. We all go through something in our lives, but especially when someone's going through something so big like you were with young children and, you know, getting alongside and just being there as a support. I think if anything, that's what RMA stands for and what it's about. So.
Most definitely, Nick, what you've created is just amazing, you know, and you know, this community of women, whether we know them or don't know them, we can all relate in some way. So yeah, it's just, yeah. I agree, Nat, big hearts.
I know. We're going to start bawling our eyes out in a minute. So we'll just quickly just shoot over to Nat then. I'd love to hear a little bit, Nat, about your journey to finding RMA. And then we'll talk about how you guys found each other. So how did you get running anyway? And where did you hear about RMA?
I'll be quick. So I have three children. My first two children were conceived through IVF. That was a... a whole nother story. But after I had my second child and I was still breastfeeding her, she was about one, I fell pregnant naturally with a third child. Best surprise of my life, because we actually wanted three children. Little Thomas was my third, and he was also my third cesarean child. I tried desperately with my second child to have a natural birth, and after 36 hours of labouring, my obstetrician, she came in and said, "Nat, we've had a really good crack, but it's not working." And I said, "Look, you're in charge. I just want healthy me, healthy baby," in the other order. And she said, "Yeah, come on, let's just get this baby out." So we did. So when I was pregnant with Thomas, I knew I was going to have a third cesarean, and it really played on my mind, but I knew that that was what was going to happen. So when Thomas was delivered, I was in the theatre being stitched up, and my obstetrician, who I had a great relationship with, she said, "Look, Nat, I know you're really bothered that you've never had a natural birth, but you need to set yourself a goal and just go out there and achieve it, because that's how you'll get over this." And I said, "No worries, I'm going to run a marathon before I turn 40. And she went, "Well, ease up, Tiger, that's a big job." And I said, no, watch me, I'll do it." Anyway, fast forward, that was in Thomas was born in 2014. So I started, after he was one, I thought, okay, I need to start working towards this goal of running a marathon. So very early in 2016, I started running. So I ran 3 kilometres. No, actually, no, it wasn't 2016, it was 2015. So when Thomas was 3 months old, I ran 3 kilometres. When he was 4 months old, I ran 4 kilometres. And I just did it like that to build it up. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, I was just surfing on the net thinking, there must be like a group of women who are mums who run, and like what, where are they? I've got to find these women. So I just started Googling online, you know, mums who run, or running mums, and anyway, Running Mums Australia came up, and I've never ever looked back from that join click that I did. Mm-hmm. And I got on the page and saw all these women doing amazing things, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try this half marathon gig. So I did my first one in 2016. I had my husband and children at the finish line, thought I was going to die. That was like the hardest thing I've done at the time. And then from there, it was just onwards and upwards. And I've done it, like, I've met amazing women. Tammy's connected me with RMA in Perth that she knew in Queensland. So we have a very dear friend of ours, Lindy, who I run a fair bit with. Last year I ran my first marathon with Lindy right by my side. And, yeah, Nick, you and the gang at the finish line, it was amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. I was so excited seeing you guys come across that line. And what a beautiful story, because had it not been that you created that goal while you were giving birth, RMA, you would never have found Tammy, you would never have found Lindy, you would never had that experience. Yeah, what was 100%. It about when you were looking for that online? Why was it specifically that you wanted a group for mums that ran? Why not just women that ran? Is there a reason for that?
Oh, look, I think as a mother, you have a whole different set of challenges. Like, I have to fit my runs around my husband's work schedule, my work schedule, my children's sporting activities, their school. And, you know, it's just a constant juggle. And, you know, everyone in RMA just gets it. Like, it's, you know, it's not easy, but you just find solutions to your problems, and you build your community. And yeah, I'm all about community and building people up, not tearing people down. So yeah, I came to the right place, Nick.
I think you did. I love it. Oh, what great stories. All right. So how did you guys meet? Let's go into that story, because we've discussed how you found running and about your childhood, and obviously your stories are very different. You know, Tammy, you've got 2 little kids. Nat, you said you've got 3 kids.
No, Tammy has 3.
Oh, Tammy has 3 kids. Oh, that's right. Tammy, you've got an older son. How old's your son?
He turns 19 tomorrow.
Wow. So you've got a 19-year-old, and how old are the little ones?
7 and 5.
7 and 5.
And this is working on our mum memory. And how old are yours, Nat?
5, 7, and 9.
Right. So you're just right in the thick of it, you guys. Like, and Tammy's sort of at both ends of the spectrum. So she's got little ones, so she's freaking out. And then she's got kids driving, and like, that's just a whole nother world that I'm entering right now. So how did you guys meet? Let's just go there. So maybe...
Go to Nat.
Okay, we'll go to Nat. So Nat, can you explain to everybody how you guys actually met? Because Tammy lives in Queensland and sometimes works in the Northern Territory.
NT, yeah.
And then Nat lives in WA. So they are worlds apart in like this. How did you guys meet? Obviously RMA has people from all over Australia, which is helpful. How did the connection come about?
I was stalked.
I followed Tammy's cancer journey and I thought, wow, this woman's amazing. But one day it came to my attention that she was a Blue Sister. And most people know what I mean when I say Blue Sister, but we were both cops.
Yep.
And I didn't realise there's actually a really strong presence of police people Australia-wide on RMA, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think, tell me if I'm wrong, Tammy, but I think I just messaged Tammy and said, hello, Blue Sister. And it just sort of went from there.
I vaguely remember your message was you were wanting to know more about the virtual run that we did for Jade and Natalia because you wanted to do something for Police Legacy.
Yes, that's right.
So we'll go into that. Just briefly, we'll go into that. So Tammy, could you just quickly fill in for people that don't know, that are listening? You've obviously gone through a cancer journey, but then on top of that, you also had another journey with your kids that you have been going through and are continuing to and will continue to go through. Could you just briefly explain to everybody what that is?
So Jade and Natalia are now 7 and 5. They've both got a rare eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa. So basically that means that they've got next to no low light or nighttime vision, and their peripheral vision is deteriorating quite rapidly in their case. And normally people find out about in their late 30s or early 40s, but in our case we've noticed it, and we got that diagnosis right smack bang in the middle of my cancer treatment, which was just awesome. Mm-hmm. So that virtual run we're talking about was called Jaden's Wish, and we were raising some money for the kids' sight bucket list, as we call it. Yeah.
Because what does that condition actually mean for them in terms of their eyesight?
It means that they will be blind, not just figuratively speaking, as in the term blind doesn't necessarily mean that there's no vision at all. It's a spectrum from anything just from light perception through to up to about 10 degrees vision. But that's where Talia sits at the moment, and it will continue to deteriorate to probably total darkness. That's what we believe, yeah.
Mm. And that's a really hard thing, I'm sure, for any parent to have to go through with their child, but to go through that with two is even doubly hard. And I mean, I just think you guys are amazing what you've had to deal with, but also I think it's really beautiful to see the community come behind you and alongside you and support you through that, because I don't think any of us could deal with something like that without that support. What does that support actually mean to you?
Oh, what it means is it's I think it warms my heart and it gives you a sense of I guess faith. As police officers, we quite often see a lot of negativity and the worst in people. But what it actually brings to me is a bit of, you know, restored faith in humanity, I guess. So I find it really reassuring that we're, you know, the community as a whole is quite amazing. And in particular, the running community, just it doesn't matter where you look, there's someone patting someone else on the back. And yeah, so it just warms my heart.
And I love that Natalie connected with you over that, because she obviously felt the need to connect in a deeper way, that there was something about your story that resonated with her that she wanted to reach out to you. And I really believe in, you know, things happening for a reason. And yes. So that day that Natalie connected you, there was a bigger picture behind the scene that you didn't even know was going to transpire. So let's talk about that now. So you obviously reached out, Nat, and I'll let you explain the journey and to how you actually met in person. And then we'll go on to what that transpired to in creating Run for Blue. So, which is the whole purpose behind why I really wanted to get you guys. You both have really interesting stories. One, I love that you're both police officers, and we do have a lot of emergency services workers in that serve our community in RMA, which I always love to honour, especially around Anzac Day. And the testament to that this year was amazing when I put that post up and we had hundreds of women's pictures. Yeah. I just was like, I was just brought to tears. I just thought, this is amazing. This is why our community is so special, because it has women like you guys that are willing to serve our community in it, which is why we are so good with each other, I think. But I just would love you guys to talk about the journey. So Nat, how did you, what happened after you connected with Tammy, and where did you first meet, and then what happened from there in terms of Run for Blue?
Well, I following the RMA page, you see people doing amazing things, and I saw all these virtual runs happening, and I thought, oh, that's pretty clever. I want to raise money for Police Legacy. I initially was thinking Western Australia, because I have a good relationship with the manager of the West Australian Police Legacy, Jill. And I remember now Tammy's refreshed my mummy brain. I've remembered that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I reached out to her because I knew she'd organised one, and I thought, okay, well, maybe she can share how she did it so that I can sort of learn from her experience. But then we just got chatting, and I'm pretty sure it was Tammy said, well, why don't we just do it nationally? And I was like, whoa, that's massive. Yeah. But like, once Tammy and I connected in relation to it, I kind of just felt like, you know what, we can do anything. Like, the two of us, Tammy's the brains, I'm the brawn, but, you know, it's...
Well, there has to be two different people. Like, you know, you can't be the same. You bring both different things to the table.
I just lift heavy things like metal boxes. No, but in all seriousness, like, to do an event like we've done and for it to succeed as well as it has, you know, it takes a village to get it off the ground. And, you know, there's just been an amazing response to what Tammy and I have put together. And, it really makes me very proud to be firstly a serving Australian police officer, but also like a member of the running community. It is an amazing place to be.
So when you connected and you discussed your idea for this virtual run, which you thought initially, I'll just do it in WA, supporting Police Legacy WA. Then Tammy obviously was like, well, hang on, let's do the whole country. How did you actually, like, had you met in person by then? Like, because I know you went over to the police games at one point. So you hadn't met. So then you went over and met in person.
Yeah. No, hang on. We met at the Kinky Lizard Cafe.
Just where all mums go, right?
Yeah, the Kinky Lizard Cafe in East Perth.
Was that our first meeting, or was that after? That was after, wasn't it? Because didn't we meet at Mandra, at the games, you know, the games hub?
No, we met before that, because I stayed with you in the hotel room.
You don't remember sleeping in the same hotel room, Tammy?
Yeah, that was during the event.
Yeah, that was it. But we met first in East Perth, and you came with your dad.
Yeah.
And I met your dad. Kinky
Lizard.
So the whole purpose of the trip, however, was for the games.
Yeah, it was for Police Emergency Services games, yeah. But it was when we were having lunch or something at that fish and chip shop with Thomas. Did you just have Thomas? Yeah, I think you just had Thomas. and maybe the others were there too, sorry. And that was where, yeah, no, it was absolutely chaos. It was awesome though. And that was where we sort of said, oh, how about we do it nationally? And I think we sort of stopped it there and didn't give it any more thought until after the games. But yes, we did share a hotel room, and yes, we did run a half marathon together, which was like so awesome, considering we'd never run with each other before.
Yeah.
So you ran together that day?
Yeah. Oh, we had a third member of the tribe join us too. Yes, Wayne.
Well, Wayne from AFP.
Yeah.
So what are the games? What are the games? Are they just police officers or?
Police and emergency services.
Right.
And so, yeah, so they hold the games every 2 years at different locations around Australia. Although, funny enough, the 2020 have been cancelled.
Really? I wonder why.
Can't think.
Yeah, they were due to be in Wollongong this year.
Yeah.
I was...
could have seen me.
I really wanted to go, but anyway, doesn't matter.
That's not far from me. I could have come down and you could have stayed with me.
Now we know.
So let's just go ahead about... After you had that discussion and then Tammy said, let's just go like all over Australia. I know what it's like to have something go from something small to something big in a really short amount of time. And it takes a lot of courage to kind of see the vision through. So once you decided, yep, we're going to do this, how did you put it together? What did you do? How did this all become what it became in the end? And before you even go into that, actually, could you just explain, Tammy, what is Run for Blue for those that might not know?
Run for Blue is a virtual run held in May where it supports police legacy families. So the long and short of it is police legacy supports families that they have lost a member of their family that was a serving police officer. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily mean that that person was passed away as a result of their service, although it seems to be relatively common. It can be from suicide or other form of death, so natural causing or otherwise. So when a member leaves family behind, things still have to be paid, school fees, school excursions, all those sorts of things. So the money re-raised goes to the police legacies across Australia. We have 8 different states and territories, which means we have 8 different legacies. So yeah, that's what it does. People select how many Ks they want to walk or run, hop, skip, jump. I don't really care what they do throughout that month, and they pay the registration fee. And if you choose, you can get a lovely little medal for it. If not, the extra bit of money goes towards the police legacy that you choose for it to go to.
Okay, so people can sign up and then they get to choose which one. So if I was living in New South Wales, I could choose New South Wales Police Legacy, for example.
And yeah.
That's great. So people actually have the choice over which one. And yeah, that's excellent. So when you started it, this is your second year now, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. What was it like in the first year?
Well, like all good police officers, there was a lot of paperwork involved. There was shed loads of approvals to be had and bosses to get ticks from. Mm-hmm. So that was I don't know that anyone could ever really imagine how much work went on to get all that done. Mm-hmm. 'Cause every police legacy had to agree.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there was just a lot of procedure that had to take place before we could really get things launched, I guess you'd say. But it was, it was an eye-opener for me. Tammy's pretty good on paper, so Nat learnt a lot from Tammy. And, yeah, it was a matter of just getting everything squared away and boxes ticked.
Nick, to give you an indication, the games were held in October, late October, early November. I got back to Darwin mid-November and sent my, I guess, my first request to a fellow police officer runner in my chain of command. Well, he wasn't actually my chain of command, but he was our deputy commissioner, and I knew he had an absolute love of running. And I basically raised the idea with him at Park Run one day, and he said, yep, send it through to me. From that point, so from mid-November, we then held the first event in 2019 in May. So we had 5 months, basically, or 6 months to get this idea off the ground with 8 different approvals. Not just approvals from the police legacies, but also through the police agencies as well. So essentially 16 forms of approval we had to get in a space of really only 3 to 4 months, because we wanted to launch in time to actually raise money.
That's something I wouldn't have thought of, because, you know, I would have thought, oh, well, we'll just run this virtual event and we'll just raise money and then we'll just divvy it up, or we'll whatever. I didn't even think that that was something you guys would have had to go through to actually be able to fundraise.
Yeah, because when you're using that name, Police Legacy is such a reputable name. When you're using a name like that, you have to actually be able to show where your money's going. Mm. So, you know, the approvals have to come from the boards or the committees, and make sure that we're doing the right thing by using their names.
Absolutely. So when you had your first event last year, how many people did you have sign up to the first one, if you can remember?
That was 641 participants.
Awesome. And how many did you have this year?
3,715.
Wow. That's amazing. See how great a year can, I mean, look at the difference a year can make. I mean, that's just incredible. So that's a lot of medals and things to have to post out, Tammy.
Yes, Natalie. Yes. Yes, a lot. I do think it's worth noting, though, that this year, I think it was 6 days before we kicked off, we had that terrible, terrible tragedy in Victoria where we lost 4 officers in one shift, in one incident, at one scene. And that, I mean, Victoria smashed everyone out of the ballpark with their numbers this year. And it's awful that we increased our numbers so significantly on the back of a terrible tragedy, but it just shows how strong the Blue family are. Like, everyone came together, everyone wanted to help, and everyone wanted to raise money to help Police Legacy. So yeah, I know myself and Tammy were very, very proud of how everyone rallied.
Absolutely. And I saw it myself, like, one of the RMA admins, Holly, is a police officer as well, and she was gathering her team down in Tassie, and it was really amazing just to watch not only the running community come together behind you, but I think this year really significantly, I guess it sometimes takes a little while too for things like this to gain momentum. But I think now, even this afternoon, I put a post up about receiving my medal for Run for Blue, and one of my friends that I grew up with, her husband is a police officer, and she commented, oh, I really wanted to do that this year. I just didn't know how to sign up. And I'm like, and what do you mean? Like, you can do it next year, but the word's out, like, they know. And they're like, oh, my husband's a police officer, or I, you know, my best friend or whatever. And so people really want to get behind that, especially if they've got some connection to being a police officer. I think what you've created is so amazing. I mean, I had a really great friend, like one of my best friends who passed away, who was a police officer many years ago. And I remember Police Legacy coming out and supporting their young daughter during that time after she passed away. So it's such an important cause. You guys should be so proud of yourselves. And to have over 3,000 people participate this year is absolutely incredible. I can only imagine where it's going to go in the years to come. So what does that actually mean for you guys now, like, moving forward to next year? I guess you kind of have to start planning now.
Yep. We do, basically. Although once I finally clear my lounge room floor of the, I think, remaining 60 shirts that I need to get out to people, the writer's cramp that I have, Yeah, planning will pretty much start for next year. That's already, you know, underway with certain aspects of that, and as am I. And, you know, I think we're at the point now we'll have to be seeking, I guess, like local committees in each state to actually pick up their bit and run their local community area so that we can share the load, because, you know, we're fortunate to have Dutchie from Victoria really help us this year with so much, you know, with the Fighting PTSD VicPol page that he runs. And, you know, we need more of that sort of in each state so that we share the load, because it's becoming huge. And, you know, we're thankful that it's becoming huge, because it means that there's money being donated.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that when people see something like this take off and it's so amazing and it does such good in the community, people will come alongside. You know, you will find it easy to find people to help you. Like, you know, people will come alongside, and people in those, you know, police communities will come alongside as well. But I think that's the best way to scale it. What actually gives you joy about doing that? What keeps you passionate and working behind the scenes at that?
I think most of all, knowing that we're helping people that may not have received anything or something because of the loss that they've suffered. And because it is so close to home, being serving police officers, sorry, I'm losing my voice. I guess it's a real soft spot, and you know, I guess it's always in the back of your head, who's going to look after my family if something happens to me? So I think that's what keeps me passionate and keeps me motivated. And then I have this nagging little voice that rings me every so often going, have you done this? Have you done that?
The work wife.
So what keeps you passionate about it, Nat? What keeps you driven to keep happening?
Being a police officer is inherently dangerous. And police legacy, I guess, is the insurance you never want to use. So for me, having three small children, my husband is a serving officer as well. You know, I just think it's so important to look after the people that look after the ones left behind. And, you know, Run for Blue has been amazing for, you know, like seeing the stories online of people who aren't even police officers who want to support us. And then, you know, they talk about their mental health issues and how Run for Blue has helped them, you know, combat their anxiety, their depression, their whatever it is that they're battling. And to see that they're, you know, coming through a dark place and seeing light, and then just seeing all the encouragement and positivity from complete strangers on the internet, just really lifting people and pushing them, you know, to strive to do better. I just find that so uplifting and inspiring to like watch and see that. And I just think, you know, we created this platform, and then, you know, the rest of Australia have just done the work. It's awesome. It truly is.
It's absolutely incredible, really. And that's what's so inspiring about it, is you've given people a platform, you've given them a voice, and you've given them an opportunity to connect as well on a deeper level. And they might not be serving police officers, they might not even be connected to police at all, but someone will see that and they'll have a purpose, even if it's just for May. But even then, next year, they might think, oh, May's coming. Like, you know, it might just actually do something for that person in their life to send them on a catalyst to change somewhere else in their own journey. So I think you probably don't realize now, but you will one day, the enormity of what you have created, and that you really are changing lives, you know, not only the lives that are that benefit through police legacy, but those that take part and participate as well. Have you got any stories of any of the people that have benefited? Like, have you heard any feedback from any of these police legacy organisations?
Look, sorry, Nick, I know that with the Northern Territory in particular, we have a few legatees that each year one or two will go on the Anzac Day Kokoda Trail trek. Mm-hmm. And with participants from New South Wales Police Legacy. So quite often with New South Wales police officers, Northern Territory police officers, and there's always some legatees that go along. And I do know that some of the money that we raised last year helped the young person go or prepare that was supposed to go this year that didn't. That would have helped them, you know, get that opportunity to go over and complete that trip. So.
And what an incredible journey that would be. I'm sure once things calm down with the corona, they'll be able to go on that. And like that just, you know, that's amazing because it brings that opportunity to someone that wouldn't have otherwise had it. And who knows what that's going to do for their life. So that's really inspiring. So I just wanted to quickly touch on before we wrap up, what RMA means to you in terms of the support that you have obviously found, the connection that it's brought to you. What do you think that it's played a really vital part in this journey that you've been on, and will it continue to play a big part in the journey that you're on now? Has it changed you in any way? Has it changed even just through this new experience, your purposes behind why you run? We'll go with you, Tammy, first.
Yeah, how do you answer that? RMA has definitely changed me, my outlook, my perspective on so many levels. The support from the people that I've met and those that I haven't met. When I guess I first started sharing my journey, I felt a sense of responsibility, which sounds really weird. But I think I grew from that and put a lot of pressure on myself at the time to show myself and everyone else that, you know, things were going to be okay. As a result of that, though, I found this amazing group of women that it didn't really matter whether I was having a great day or a rubbish day, but they were still there and they were still there to pick you up when you were down or to cheer you on when you're doing great. So it has really shaped me in so many ways in that part. And it gave me contacts and connections with people when I went to running events. And I guess I never felt alone. So, you know, you talk about running being a solo sport. The only time I like running alone is on race day, event day. Mm. Every other time I prefer to run with people. And it's, for me, it's social. But when push comes to shove event day, I like to do my own thing and I don't like to have that responsibility or, you know, have people feeling like they should be there or shouldn't be there and stuff like that. So, yeah, so I guess that will always be with me and it will always continue to shape where I go from here. Did that answer everything?
Yeah, no, definitely did. Definitely did. And I like that it shaped, you know, I guess, having that support around you obviously helped when you actually had that little spark to do something like Run for Blue. Like if you didn't have that support around you and you didn't have those connections, it would never have become a reality, but you probably wouldn't have got it out of your comfort zone and done it either. So the fact that you knew you had an army behind you and you knew that you would always have support behind you and you had Nat, and all the other connections that you've made through running or even just through the police, like to have that support behind you and people that are going, yes, I'll cheer you on and I'm in your corner, always makes a journey so much easier than if we are alone doing it without the support. So, and what about you, Nat?
Oh, look, for me, RMA has been, I guess, like they say, raising children takes a village. Like if you want to, you know, actually have meaning in life, you need that village behind you. You know, I had goals I wanted to achieve. I never imagined, you know, that I would meet such an amazing community of women. Like going to events and wearing my RMA hat and having completely random people yelling out, go RMA, you have that strong sense of belonging and you have that sense of pride in you that, yeah, I'm part of this community and it's awesome. Mm. So Yeah, for me, I really cherish the RMA community. I mean, that's the only reason I'm still on Facebook. Yeah. I would have gone a long time ago if it wasn't for RMA, and obviously Run for Blue as well. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just the most positive, uplifting and encouraging group of women that all have that common cause to see everyone do their best. I mean, we've got Olympic champion Lisa Waitman, who is phenomenal, and then you've got someone who's just run their first kilometre without stopping, and everyone is happy equally. I just love it.
And that's what's so inspiring. It's this, that there's such a huge spectrum of the journey. You have people who have just started who want advice, and you have people like Lisa, who actually is my next guest, and to be able to listen to everybody's story. Everybody has one, but to be able to learn from each other, and people that are doing like things I would never even think imaginable, like, or possible, that are doing it anyway and having a go. And all in the end, we can all do these things. It's when we're surrounded and supported that it makes it that much more possible. So that's what I love about RMA, is that the community gets behind each other more than anything. So I think we'll wrap it up there, but I just wanted to finish off our conversation with what I'm doing on the podcast called the RMA Hot Lap. So it's just 5 quick questions. They're really easy. Everybody's questions are exactly the same every single podcast. But I'll ask individually your questions. I'll actually ask each question back to back for both of you. So I'm going to start with Nat. What is your favourite race fuel?
So my favourite fuel for racing is Morton's gels. I discovered them last year when I was marathon training, and I know Mo Farah uses them. So I thought, well, if they're good for him, I'll try them. But yeah, they work for me. I tried pretty much everything and nothing else worked.
Good. I have heard of them. Definitely good. What about you, Tam?
Well, on the trails, it's a good old Vegemite sandwich on white bread.
Vegemite sandwich on white bread. You broke up.
I think I'm frozen.
Yeah, okay. I like that too, actually. Definitely on the trails. What about if you're just running a road marathon or road run, 10K, let's say? Do you do anything?
Look, I always have a bit of tailwind on me, and I don't go past the old Endura gels. They're my favourite.
Tick for me too. What about, Nat, your favourite thing to wear when out running?
Oh, that's just a given. It's my RMA hat. I wear that thing with pride.
Oh, I love it. What about you, Tam?
I was going to say clothes, but, you know.
Well, they're vital. But I hope that you're wearing clothes.
Depends where you live.
True. I'm sure you've seen a few unclothed people in your time as police officers.
Yes,
what kind of clothes would you like to be wearing?
Oh, you want specifics?
Yeah. Your favorite?
I have a few articles of clothing I have that are my favorites by far, is 2 favorite RMA tops and the old white hat that I have. And I also have my other favorite hat, which is my Heart and Souls black hat, which just absorbs my sweat, particularly on the trails.
All right, Nat, what is one thing you can't go without on a long run?
2 things, a bra and my, I've just gone completely blank on my chafing removal stick.
Oh, yeah.
Glide on.
Bra is essential.
Yeah.
I don't recommend not wearing one. Yep, must have one of those. What about you, Tam?
Yes, no, but a proper bra that...
Yeah, one that really holds you in.
I don't have that problem. I can't go without a buff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look good in a buff too. Yeah.
Very cool.
What is your... Now, this one's going to be hard. This one, people have found this one really hard every time I ask it, but if you can try and stick to one moment, what is your favorite running moment, Nat?
Hands down, the finish shoot at the City Surf Marathon 2019, having my husband, children and family on the right side of the chute and having my RMA family on the right, left side of the chute, like, can't beat it. It was electric, that finish line. I loved it.
It was pretty incredible. What about you, Tam?
Blackmore's Marathon in, when did I do that? 2018?
Yeah, I think I was there.
And the highlight of that was collecting my little boy Jaden along the finishing chute. And as people were calling my name, coming down towards the finish, Jaden was looking up to me going, "That's my mummy. When I grow up, I want to be a marathon runner like you, mummy."
Oh, that's beautiful. Aww. I love it. Oh, I love that. Okay. Nat, what is one word to sum up your experience so far?
Uplifting.
Uplifting, yeah. Love it. What about you, Tammy?
Unforgettable.
Love it. Well, thanks, ladies. Thanks for joining me. I had a really, really great conversation with you guys. I really love chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. It's been great.
All the Thanks best. For having us. Yeah. All
the best with the rest of your week and hopefully no more lockdowns.
And thanks for all that you do, Nick. You are amazing too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here without you, Nick.
Wow, I really love this interview. I love learning about how these two completely different lives have collided to create change. This is the power of RMA, that everyday women can connect and empower each other to turn their dreams into a reality and create ripples in their own worlds that change lives. Thank you for joining us for this insightful episode. I wonder if it has challenged you to do that thing that has been burning inside your heart. Next time on the RMA podcast, I speak to RMA ambassador, mum, and Olympic marathoner, Lisa Waitman. We talk about motherhood, her journey to running for Australia, the highs and lows of competition, and what has meant most to her along the way. For now, please stay safe and well. Until next time.